Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad that you're here, and we've got so many folks here visiting for the VBS weekend, and we've got so many people here to worship the Lord, because as much as it is a special weekend for us, every Sunday is the Lord's Day, and I'm thankful that you're here to worship Him and to recognize His goodness and to read from His Word together. Just really, really thankful this weekend for everything that we've all got to do together. As far as the VBS goes, it's just so much good that comes out of it. Seeing so many young faces brings energy and joy and life. I've been smiling so much this weekend, as so many other people have, and just really, really thankful for the good times that we have. And we need to treasure them when we have them. Thank God for good days in the summer where we can be joyful and together as a family here and to build one another up. These are times to treasure. And for all the kids who have been here in classes, there's been a lot of fun, a lot of crafts and really good things that we get to do together. But the things that you've learned in class and the people that you've learned it from, these are the things that will stick with you and will keep you on the right path your entire life. So remember them, and remember these people who love you enough to tell you these things. Really, really grateful for everything that's been going on this weekend and today as the Lord's Day. Our lesson today will be somewhat connected to what we've been talking about this weekend, but it is for everyone and for all time. The question I want us to think about is, what is the best way to get to know God? What's the best way to get to know God? All throughout human history, for a long time, and for everything we've talked about this weekend, with all these special people and men that God spoke to, and God has been telling people who He is. And He does so because He loves us. We are all children of God, made in His image. And He loves His children. And though they've gone astray, He calls them back to Himself. Everyone here today and everyone else, the whole world around. God tells His people. And we talked about Mount Sinai. God tells His people and He shows them all these signs that He's done in Egypt. The Ten Commandments begin and He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery, who wants to bless you. But as much as the people heard the words of God, they listened to God, that did not mean that they understood who God was. And it did not mean that they would all of a sudden be faithful to Him. It's while they're at Mount Sinai, after everything God has done for them, everything that God has taught them, that they build an idol while God is still speaking to Moses. They fall away very quickly. This is the pattern of human history, and it's one that we can see written large on the centuries of time, but it's one that we can see within our own lives. Every single one of us, if we look carefully, that there's a time that we're faithful, that we feel like we're on the right track, we understand what God is about, and then we lose it. We lose sight of what's important. The people were faithful when they entered into the promised land. When there's good men in charge like Joshua, the people are on the right track, but it doesn't take long before they forget. The dark time of the judges is proof of that. The people are faithful when there's a good man in charge like David the king. He's a man after God's own heart. People seem to know the Lord. And it doesn't take long for the people to lose sight of it, to lose track. His own son starts building up idols to all these other false gods, and soon you have all of the corruption and the injustice and the evil that scatters across the time of the divided kings. All throughout human history, the pattern comes where God speaks to His people over and over. He says, this is who I am. This is who you are. I want to be your father. I want to be your God and you be my people. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. And people will listen for a time, but it does not last. The thing that we need to learn is that information is not the key problem for faithfulness to God. The problem is not that people don't know enough. You know, the Bible is the most widely printed book in all of human history. There are more Bibles on earth than any other book. And that does not mean that all of a sudden everyone in the world is redeemed because of that. Or everyone is faithful to God because they own a Bible. Or because they know what's in the Bible. Knowing it is not enough. Having the information in your brain, that doesn't keep you. That doesn't stay the course with God. There's a problem with people's ears. There's a problem with listening. We've got a lot of kids here today. It's a little bit evident sometimes. There's a problem with listening. You can say something, and they might hear it, but it doesn't get through. This is something that Jesus says in all the Gospels. He talks about this passage from Isaiah chapter 6, where the Lord tells the prophet to speak to this people, because hearing, they will not hear. Seeing, they won't understand. God has spoken to his people across all time, and they heard the words, but they didn't get it. They didn't understand who God really was or who they were in relationship to God. And so when the people would not listen, God showed them. Words were not enough to win their hearts over, it seemed. And so he showed them. We have a saying in English today, actions speak louder than words. So God came to show them. And he did so in person. God did not send a prophet this time. He didn't talk to anyone in dreams or visions. God came in the flesh, in person, himself, to show them. And this is what the gospel story is all about, what we call the good news. If you want to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this is where we'll be reading from. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God had been speaking to his people and calling to the people of the world to follow him and to know him, to know who they are. And although they hear the words, they would not understand. They would not stay faithful to him. And so we'll ask the question, what is the best way to get to know God? Where do you go in your Bible to best understand who God is? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about the cross, and this is what he says in verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What is the best way to know God? And where do you look? And what are you looking for? You say you want to know the God of heaven. You say you want to live a life of faith. What are you expecting? And what are you looking for? We don't have so much of the distinction in our culture today between Jews and Greeks. But the same things that they were looking for when Jesus walked this earth are the same things that people look for today. People want a sign. They say, well, if I want to get to know God, I want to see something spectacular. I want to experience God in his power and in his might. This is when you read your Bible and you hear about God parting the Red Sea with a wind or fire coming down from heaven, and you say, that's the God that I believe in. I believe in the God who is strong and mighty and powerful, who promises victory and glory and a crown to anyone who follows him. That's the one I'm looking for. There are people like this today. There are some who they may not be looking for a sign, but they're looking for wisdom. They think, no, God is wise. And so to live a life of faith, I have to understand God perfectly. And it's God's wisdom. That's what really shows him, that God is, he knows everything. He understands everything. And so the follower of God has to be intellectual and smart and careful these ways. But this is not how God revealed himself. And this is not the God that we serve who shows us truly who he is. God showed himself with signs and wonders and power and strength. And that did not mean the people would understand him or follow him. God has shown himself in wisdom, and people disregard it. They do not listen, although God is wise. No. Where do you look if you want to understand God? Truly, if you want to know him, where do you look to? The clearest picture we will ever have of who God is, his character, and his heart, is that innocent man carrying the weight of the entire world, hanging on a cross, alone, faithful to God, while all the crowds mock him and jeer at him. That is the God we serve. This is the gospel. We look for signs and strength. We want victory and glory from God. We want to be wise and spiritual and mature people. But the best place that we could ever look to understand who God is the cross of Jesus Christ. That God would come in the flesh and take the place that he did not have to bear the weight of their sin and their guilt and their judgment freely of his own choice, with nothing to gain for himself but to give to others. That God saw those who were suffering and he said, I will take their place. This is the God that we serve. And if you want to know God, there is nowhere else to look than the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no better place to see the mercy of God that when Jesus is hanging on the cross and he prays to the Father, and he says, Father, forgive them. The people who have put the nails in my hands, the people who stand here mocking me, shouting at me, spitting on me. He says, forgive them, Father. If you want to know God's mercy, that's where you look. Nowhere else is the justice of God seen so clearly, where the Lamb of God sacrificed to atone for the sins of the people. It's not just an animal. It's not just a symbol. It is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That God does not cut corners. God does not skip the rules for his son. God keeps his justice and is able to be merciful, to save those who are lost and perishing. Nowhere else is the compassion of our God so clearly seen. That when Jesus, after he has died, he's raised from the dead, he appears to his disciples. And the last time that he saw them, they all turned their backs on him. They all left him at his darkest hour. And Jesus sees them, and his first words is, peace to you. He says, everything is well. It is done. My peace I give to you. No bitterness. No anger. No regret. If you want to know God, there's a long history. We have our Bibles. They're big books. And we understand parts of him as we go through the Old Testament and beyond the cross and the building of the church. We see God there. But if you want to know God, you will never understand God until you go to the cross, until you put yourself there at the foot of it and understand that all of this was for you and for your neighbor and for the person who lives down the street. This is exactly what the gospel is all about. You may be someone who has faith and has lost sight of what's important. It's easy to get stuck on rabbit trails or stuck in a rut in your routine. If you want to center yourself and reorient yourself on what's true, it's the cross. Maybe you're someone here today who does not know Jesus, and maybe you have someone you love who does, and that's why you're here at a worship service. But you say, you know, I really don't know what all the big deal is about. I don't really understand this faith stuff. You won't understand until you go to the cross. Until you can understand that the God who made the entire world who is holy and eternal and powerful and wise and perfect, looked at you with all of your faults, with all of your sins, and said, I would give my life for them, and I will. I will forgive them, and we can be eternal and together for all time. Until you come to that spot and recognize that and understand that, you won't understand. And you'll keep coming to church services and saying, I don't understand what the big deal is. What's the deal with all this faith? The cross is the center of the Christian faith. And any time we start focusing on other things more than this, we will lose sight of what's important. Everybody wants a crown. Everybody wants to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Everybody wants to walk the streets of gold. But the only way there, so as Jesus says, you take up your cross. As I have taken up mine, you follow me. The cross is at the very heart of it. And this is what Paul talks about as he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, many people look for many things. And there are all sorts of churches across this nation, across the world, who talk about the Lord and talk about God, but they don't mention the cross very much. Jesus says, no, we didn't come with signs. We didn't come with wisdom. We preach Christ crucified. To some, it's folly. To some, a stumbling block. But to us who are called, we understand that the cross is wisdom of God, the power of God. When we see this is the character of God most clearly, this is who he is in his humility, in his meekness, in his faithfulness, his wisdom, his compassion for people. That's what the gospel is. And that's when we can understand that it deserves our entire life. It deserves our entire ambition. That anything that I could want is second to this. This is the greatest moment in all of time until the Lord returns. And so this is what the apostle says to these Christians in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. Says, so consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the world's standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Paul tells these Christians, look around you. Are you thinking that you're going to impress the world by who you are? And that your faith is something that to you and because of you is something to be proud of? He says, not many of us are the top of the ladder, at the highest rung as far as the world's standards. God chose what is foolish in the world to mock the wise. There are people who will look at us this way in the world. Jesus says, you'll be persecuted and mocked by all because of me. Someone looks at you, they have no faith, and they say, you're going to live your whole life because you believe that someone rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. They think it's ridiculous. They think it's foolishness. It's foolishness to them. But for us who know the truth, it is the thing that gets us through our entire life and will for eternity. So that no one might boast in the presence of God. That when we carry our cross our whole life through and we come on judgment day and the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant, that we don't walk into heaven with a chip on our shoulder saying, I'm here because I did a great job. And the Lord's lucky to have me in heaven because I'm so mature or I'm so wise or I'm so whatever it might be. No, for anyone who is redeemed and restored to the Lord on judgment day, the only words will be, thank the Lord, because he is gracious, because he has gotten me this far and will carry me through the rest of the way. It is the cross that gives us this strength, that reminds us of what God has done for us. And so it is through the cross that The old faithful words of the prophet are brought true. In Isaiah chapter 49, 700 years before Jesus was born, this is what the prophet foresaw. God was calling the shots, as it were. In Isaiah 49, verse 22, "Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples. And they will bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters they will be carried on their shoulders." He says to the people suffering, to those who are under the power and the captivity of sin and death and darkness, he says, "I will raise my signal, and they will bring them out of the darkness. You will come out of the oppression of sin and death." Verse 23 ends with, "Then you will know that I am the Lord, and those who wait for me shall not be put to shame." What is the signal of the Lord? What is the sign that God has given us to show that what he has promised he will keep, that he will be faithful to the very bitter end? Signal of the Lord, the banner of the cross. He says, this is the proof. We've asked this morning, you know, what's the best way to get to know God? And this is what this passage says, the end of verse 23. "Then you will know that I am the Lord, and that those who wait on me will not be ashamed." You know, you live your whole life and you think, is it worth it? Choosing the narrow way, the hard path, denying myself every single day, doing the things that are difficult that I don't want to do to follow God, is it worth it? Will I be ashamed? Will it all be for nothing to follow the Lord? And then you turn your attention to the cross. You see how much God has done for you, how much he loves you, and how that on the other side of the cross, his first words to his disciples, and to us by extension, is peace to you. That God has done all this to make things right. Then we know. Then we know the Lord. That's how we get to know God. And that's how we are assured that the things we do for him are not in vain. We're not spinning our wheels serving the Lord. The last place we'll look is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As it is that the cross is the center of the gospel, and it is the foundation of our faith. The greatest act of God's faithfulness and his love and his wisdom and his justice and his mercy, it is the moment that we can understand God the most. It ends up that Paul ends up talking about it quite a bit. He talks very much about the cross, about Jesus' death and his resurrection. And it's here in 2 Corinthians 5 that he says what the impact of the cross is for us who follow him. Jesus was crucified. What does that mean for us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, this is what the apostle writes. "The love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could sit on the sideline and watch and admire him and sing praises to him and say, "So thankful for what God has done, and now I can just do whatever I want." He says, Jesus died so that all of us could die to sin and have a new life. He says, he did this so that whoever lives might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died on their behalf. We owe a great debt of gratitude. It's not one that we could ever pay back. It's not one that the Lord expects us to pay back. He's not measuring our good works, you know, tipping them on the scales. But we owe the Lord our entire lives and more. And so I'll ask you this, and this is how we'll conclude the lesson. Who are you living for? Christ died to give you new life. Christ died and lived again so that you could be changed, so that you wouldn't have to be stuck in the same destructive patterns over and over that sin keeps us in. When you wake up every day, are your first thoughts about the things that you want to do? When you're met with a difficult situation, you have to make a choice. Is the highest priority what you want or what God has done for you? What God would have you to do? Do you know the Lord? Until you come to the cross, you won't. You won't understand Him. But know this, that God has loved you. He has been faithful to you. And He has done all this to redeem you from destruction that we have brought on ourselves. And until you recognize that, and until you bring your life to Him to be changed, to be baptized, to live a holy life like He intended, you will be kept on the outside. There is only one way, and it is through the cross. We carry all the way to glory, following our Lord who has done so for us. Do you want a new life? Do you want a change? God will give it to you. If we can help you at all with that this morning, we're happy to. You can come up to the front while we stand and sing our songs.